Good morning. Let's pray together. Lord God, our loving Father, we thank you so much for the power of your living word. And we thank you that it is your word for today, and that by your Spirit you want to speak with us directly and clearly concerning the way in which you want to live for us at this very particular time in the life of our church. So speak to us now, we pray, and may we be inspired by you. May we allow your word to be sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we listen to your voice with interest and attention in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. Very glad to be with you this morning. 6 days ago, I was having surgery for a half knee replacement, which is why I'm asking for permission to sit down this morning. I don't enjoy sitting down to preach. I've done it before and I really don't enjoy it. There's something about standing up that is important to preaching. I feel as if I ought to be telling you a story. I can tell you a story. One bright morning, Mummy and Daddy Bear went down with Baby Bear to the market, and they were going to get the biggest surprise of the whole of their life. You seem to be listening quite well. Anyway, I thought I would preach, actually. But how interesting that in having this new series, I was asked to preach about the body of Christ and to reflect carefully on body. I've certainly spent more than a usual amount of time over the last week thinking about my body. This is a great series for this moment, and what lies behind it is our need to reflect on what the church is, because the things that we are that describe us as a church are true whether we've got COVID or not. They're true all the time. That's say we're always the body of Christ. But what it actually means for us to be the body of Christ will be different. We're still the body of Christ, but the implications of it will be different. And all the other wonderful descriptions that we'll be looking at, we're citizens of heaven. We will continue to be citizens of heaven, whatever the circumstances. We're God's field, we're God's household. So we're going to reflect on the nature of the church. That's what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. It's my privilege to kick this off. And I love the fact that the picture of the body of Christ is dynamic. That said, at any time, the body is constantly changing. Our bodies are constantly changing, constantly being renewed. They cannot stand still. One thing our bodies are not able to do ever is to stand still. We're losing cells every day. We're gaining new cells. Our bodies are constantly changing, and so it is in the church. So the question is this: what does it mean to be the body of Christ in Eastleigh in September 2021? And the answer will be different, and we really need to get this. It will be different from what it meant to be the body of Christ in 2020, and very different from what it meant to be in 2019. There'll be lots of similarities, of course, there'll be lots of connections, but actually this is a different moment. Let's think for a moment about the body of Christ. I guess through the years I've often preached on this because it's so central to what we are, and I feel that very often we're guilty of rushing past the title to get to the teaching about gifts. And it is about gifts. We need to come to the teaching about gifts. That's not wrong. But actually, we need to reflect for a moment that we're called to be the body of Christ, because much of the time, actually, what it sounds like is we're called to be the body of Eastleigh Baptist Church and all work together because we're the body of Eastleigh Baptist Church and we've got different gifts and different abilities and we've got to fit them all in together, and that's a dynamic process. But we're not called to be the body of Eastleigh Baptist Church. That's not our calling. We're called to be, and gasp for a moment, the body of Christ. That is to say, as we meet together, this isn't just a friendship group, a community group that comes together, goes, we get on really well together, I mean, really nice, friendly people. And we are all of those things. They're not wrong. You know, we are nice, friendly people. But we're the body of Christ. As we show love to one another, as we worship together, as we are church together, we are, heart-stopping moment, Christ. So when people come amongst us on a Sunday, our prayer is that they'll meet Christ. Too many churches tell me, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? As I've traveled around churches through the years, churches are anxious to tell me how friendly they are, and which is comforting, I suppose, and entirely legal. But I mean, but actually we're supposed to be Christ, that actually people meet the living, risen Christ, that actually something happens in their lives because they met Christ. It's lovely to meet friendly people. We all like meeting friendly. You can meet lots of friendly people in the shops. I mean, you can meet them all over the place. It's not a life-changing experience. With the body of Christ, folks, amen. That's what we're called to be. And the truth is that our role is to continue the ministry of Jesus in the world. When Jesus left this earth, it's very clear in John, particularly in John's gospel, the way in which he said, after I've gone, the Holy Spirit will come, and it'll be even better. You'll be able to do even more things as the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the church would be still preaching good news, still healing people, still bringing good news to the poor, still transforming society. Our role is to be Jesus. We are the body of Christ. This is a Baptist church, and one of the very precious things about all the 400 and more years of history of the Baptist churches is that we've deliberately said that we are governed by Christ. Governance is a big word in the charity sector these days, and we've sought to be very faithful to that as a church, and we're happy to go along with it. Governance happens so that we properly follow through the objectives we have as a charity, and we do it properly, and the charity commission are pleased with us, and that's all lovely. So we have members, and everybody who is a member of this church, because they love Jesus, committed to use their gifts to build up the life of this church, that's the church meeting together at the end of the month, which is great. They elect people who we know as deacons, and also call people we know as ministers in different ways. So different people are called to serve as trustees, which is fantastic. But governance, we believe, is in the hands of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The way in which we do what we do is deliberately. We're the body of Christ. These are really important. These are foundational points, aren't they, for the way in which we do our work together. And do pray for us as we are involved in leading the life of this church. I'll meet tomorrow morning with the ministry team, which is great, tomorrow evening with the leadership team. Pray for us as we meet. Why? Because we want to be not the body of Eastleigh Baptist Church, but the body of Christ, doing what the risen Christ calls us to do. Okay, that's step one. We need to focus on Christ. Secondly, we need to focus on the church. Pretty obviously, but let me unpack that for a moment, because there are lots of deep insights that we get from the revelation that we are the body of Christ. And one of them, and which is absolutely fascinating, is that we are therefore clearly united, we're one body, but we're only able to be one body because we're different, because we're diverse. Let's unpack that for a moment, but it's crucial to the way in which we do life together. There's no question about the unity of our body. Believe me, after the kind of week I've had, there is no question about the unity of the whole. But I mean, all they've done is given me a replacement half of a knee. I don't know what it's made of. I must ask the surgeon. I must show more interest. But they put in some kind of replacement. It could be metal or it could be silicon. It depends what he chose at the time. It's tiny. You know, what would the weight of what they put into my knee be relative to the whole of this lumbering structure? I mean, it's tiny weight, almost inconsequential, but it's not inconsequential, believe me, because it's part of me. It's not as if I can deal with my body by saying, oh, no, that's the knee department. Yeah. You know, it's me. This is my body. And that's a beautiful picture of unity, isn't it, as a church. We cannot say, oh, that's just the children's work. We can't do that. We can't say, oh, that's just what happens in the office. You know, they just move bits of paper around, you know. Or that's what they do in IT, or that's what they do on a Thursday evening or a Tuesday morning, or that's what Toby does, whatever Toby does. Do you know, I mean, it's body, it's unity. Everything is intricately. It doesn't matter that it may seem to be tiny. It's not tiny. Please hear me. It is not tiny. It is part of the body of Christ. So we celebrate this amazing sense of unity, and that is something to celebrate, isn't it? In a world that's so divided, to be able to say, no, we're one. We're one body. Well, one because we have a relationship with Jesus, because he's drawn us together. I was reading this week Hebrews chapter 10, which I just love, verse 24, which in the Greek says, effectively, let us consider how we can provoke one another to love and good deeds. I love that, provoking one another. You know, we're so eager to be church, to build up one another. We're looking for ways of provoking, encouraging one another, spurring one another. That's unity. That's real unity. We're not individuals who are just coming for a religious performance on a Sunday morning. We're body. We're caring for one another. We're weeping together. We're sharing joy when people are honored. You know, we're unity. We are one. So we are church. We are one. But we're also, that unity is dependent on us being very different. If we were all one part, it just wouldn't work. And that's what Paul says in this reading. He says, you know, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If you were an eye, you'd say, well, I'm incredibly clever. Do you know, there's amazing things I could do. I'm an eye. How much better it would be if the whole church were just an eye? Because it's just so, I mean, the eye is absolutely brilliant. Did you know that our eyes can focus on 50 different objects each second? It's just amazing, isn't it? Your eyes can distinguish approximately 10 million different colours. We've been doing some painting recently with charts and things, and you know, 10 million. I mean, it's extraordinary. Your iris, the coloured part of your eye, has 256 unique qualities and unique characteristics. Your fingerprint, which is very clever, only has about 40. So your iris, that's why they're using it more and more, 256. Your eye is the fastest contracting muscle in the body, contracting in less than 1/100th of a second. It's extraordinary. The optic nerve contains more than 1 million nerve cells. And you can hear somebody on behalf of the eye saying, wouldn't the world be great if we were just an eye, because I'm so clever, I've got it all. And Paul says, stuff and nonsense. To be body, we need the difference. We need all the very different contrasting parts. Thank you, eye, for being an eye. Thank you, ear, for being an ear. Thank you, kneecap, for being a kneecap. But we need everything together. The implication of this is interesting, isn't it? Because so we're united, great. We're united in Christ. We're one in Christ. We celebrate that unity. But we're different. We're very different. I mean, look around you. Even if you can't, let me tell you, they're very different. Do you know, we are very different from one another. We're different ages, we're different backgrounds, different education, different preferences, different ways of doing things. And you think, wow, that sounded like trouble. You know, because we don't do things in the same way. We don't do things at the same pace. We don't like necessarily the same kind of music. We don't approach, you know, there's huge, and you think that's really dangerous. How can that be? The reality is, that's how God intends it to be. That's church. And when you think, I would really love to be in a church where everybody thought the same as me, you are being as absurd as saying the whole body should be an eye. We need difference. You need people whose gifts are totally different from yours, whose approaches are totally different from yours. You need people who wind you up seriously. You need them. No, it's not an optional extra. You need them to be body. So fascinating, isn't it? And that's, so this takes us to the heart of what it means to be body united, but only able to be united through diversity. So we need to focus on Christ. I'd be very content if you went out of this sermon just ringing with the fact that we're the body of Christ, that, you know, that's who we are, that as we do church, we're Christ to Eastleigh. But we went on to talk about focusing on the church. I now want to focus finally and importantly on you. And this is just you. For the moment, I'm not interested in the person sitting next to you. I'm just talking to you. If you have committed your life to Jesus, you are a member of the body of Christ. There's no way out of it. You are a part of the body of Christ. I actually love church membership. And you say, well, where's church membership in the Bible? And church membership as a bit of organization, it isn't in the Bible. I'll give you that. But the Bible does say very clearly you're a member of the body of Christ. And I think the very best way we have for representing that membership of the body of Christ is through becoming a member of the church. And I do encourage you, if you're not a member at the moment and you fit completely two boxes, as it were, one, that you love Jesus, and two, that you're committed to the life of this church. If those two things are true, I would urge you to become a member. Even if you're not in Eastleigh for long, I don't think that's an issue. I think what matters is you love Jesus and you're committed to the life of this church. I would say become a member because you're a member of the body of Christ. So that's where we start. Every one of you is, if you're a Christian, you are a member of the body of Christ. And that means, therefore, from our reading, it's very clear, therefore you have a gift. Therefore you have something which is essential to the body of Christ. You have a contribution to make which only you can make. Paul's an interesting person, isn't he? We get the impression, he was quite an awkward person, actually. We get the impression that he probably wasn't the greatest preacher out. It would seem that Apollos tipped him on that one, came from Alexandria and came from a very distinguished background. It would seem as if Paul didn't impress many people. And perhaps you feel at times the way in which he handled situations didn't seem very sensitive and all that. He's unbelievably sensitive in the way in which he handles this issue. And he handles, firstly, the issue of inferiority complexes. I've been a minister long enough to know that one of the biggest problems in the life of churches is people's inferiority complexes. Oh, I could never do that. And it's almost dressed up, which makes you sick, as a sort of humility. It's a false humility, let's be clear. Do you know, I would never be able to do it. They do it much better than I would. Don't ever look down on yourself, is my word to you. Never look down on yourself. Never look down on your gift and say, well, that's not really worth having. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Never look down on yourself. Never look down on the gifts that God has given you. The gift that you've got is crucial to the life of the church. The problem with gifts, I know what it is that we tend to draw a lot of attention to a few gifts. And often the gifts we draw attention to look quite fun. Do you know, so it may be in the worship band when we used to have one. Do you know, or something like that. It's up front and you think, yeah, if I had a proper gift, that'd be all right. But I know what you're going to tell me next, Jonathan. You're going to tell me I'm a good listener. And that's boring. But actually, if you are a listener, that's one of the greatest gifts you could ever bring to the church. Let's be clear about this. If you're a welcoming person, a friendly person, that's a fantastic gift to bring. Do not look down on your gift. Because at the end of the day, if you look down on your gifts, you're looking down on God, because he gave it to you. Don't look down on your gifts. Thank God for what, and also don't look down on other people. Verse 21, this is superiority complexes. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, don't need you. You can't do it. I've found all of this particularly poignant working with people with learning disabilities. And I thank God for the richness of my connection, particularly over the last 8 years working with people with learning disability, and still have the joy of working with a charity, Count Everyone In, that works with people with learning disabilities. Fantastic. It is very easy to look at people who perhaps cannot speak and can never speak, never be able to speak. It's very easy to be patronizing and to look down on them and say, oh, poor dears, you know. Or they're part of the body of Christ. If we get this teaching right, they're part of the body of Christ. I thank God for those wonderful occasions of worship I've been to with people with learning disability, and the way in which they've celebrated the gifts that those people have brought. And they haven't brought gifts that would be often recognized maybe within the church, but celebrated the gifts of friendship, the smiles, of hugs that they've been able to bring, the wonderful gifts they've been able to bring. Don't ever look down on another person because they don't seem to be quite as up to things as you are, quite as gifted as you are. So, friends, the point of all of this is you have a gift. You have opportunities to serve God. I've had a lot of conversation about this with people over the last few weeks, interestingly. I got a letter from an 85-year-old lady only a few weeks ago. She does write to me from time to time. It's via the Premier link. And she was saying, I'm 85, had a really busy life, and I just don't know what God wants me to do for him now. And I was so blessed by that letter, you know, still eager to find what the Lord wanted her to do. But I do recognize as life goes on, roles change, and you may well feel that you're not as obviously useful as you used to be. Maybe what God is calling you to be is a prayer. Just imagine. That would be so devastatingly helpful to us as a church if you could be a committed prayer. Do not look down on your gift. It may be different. You may regret things are not the same as they were 10, 20 years ago. But they do change for all of us. That's how it is. But God has got something he wants you to do right now, which is essential to the life of his church. I know I've walked you through this before, but I'm going to walk it through you again because I like my little guide for people who don't know what their gift is. I think it's good, and it seems to have been helpful to people. If you don't know what your gift is right now, and you're saying, Jonathan, you know, it's going in my head because I don't know what my gift is, this is what you do, okay? Simple. Number one, you thank God for your gift. You're saying, Jonathan, you weren't listening. I've just told you I don't know what it is. Ah, the reason you thank God for it is because we know you've got one. The Bible tells us you've got a gift. So let's start positively. If you're a mathematician, we'll call it X. Lord, thank you for my gift marked X. Don't know what it is at the moment. But so that's start. Be positive. God's given you a gift. Don't know what it is, but that's okay. Thank God for it. Keep praying. Then say to God, please tell me what it is. I don't believe God wants to hide it from you. I believe it's central to God's purpose that he wants you to know what the gift is. So you got it? It's not a complicated prayer. Thank you, Lord, for gift, marked X. Two, please tell me, Lord, what it is. Doing well. Thirdly, open your eyes. None of this is complicated. Look around you. See if you can work it out for yourself what your gift is. Most of the time, I think what people are saying is they do know exactly what their gift is and they'd rather it was something else. I think once you've opened your eyes and you've seen what God has asked you to do, get on and do it, is my suggestion to you. If you're still saying, but Jonathan, I'm still not sure I know what we get, that's okay. Talk to somebody about it. Because if you, and it's a vulnerable thing to ask, I know, but if you say to somebody else, do you know what my gift is? I would be pretty sure that for almost everyone, other people will be able to say, I know what your gift is. You're an incredible encourager. The way in which you encourage that, nobody else could have done it in the way, do you know? Talk to somebody else. So thank God, ask him what it is, look around, ask other people, and then use it. Gifts are not ornaments. They're not something we put on the mantelpiece. They're something to use. And as we use them, so the Spirit shapes them in us and makes us the people God wants us to be. I'm so grateful for this series because we've, in a sense, we've all known all this stuff. You know, I haven't told you anything that's brand new this morning. But through bringing this truth out at a time when everything is changing, we're saying, Lord, in this moment, in this hour, at this time, what do you want me to be? What are you calling me to be within your church? This is a sermon for you personally. If it blesses the person next to you, it's fine. But I'm concerned about you, that you should go from this place, if not in these moments, by the end of the day, you have a clear idea of what God is calling you to do in this season. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you so much that your Spirit is at work and that you have a role for each of us to fulfill. And Lord, we just pray that, thanking you for the body, thanking you that we belong to one another, we pray that we will use the gift that you have given to us so that your church may be built up. Lord, may Eastleigh Baptist Church truly be the body of Christ here in Eastleigh, to the glory of your name. Amen.